Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Peter Greenberg is our travel expert, and his show is Saturday at 1 o'clock, Eye on Travel. Hey, Peter, it's John. How are you?
I am very good, sir.
I hear some ambient sound. Are you in a gate getting ready to get on an airplane?
Believe it or not, I'm talking to you tonight from Cappadocia in Turkey.
You know, you like to say on your show that you almost every week come to us from a different location. You've been locked down during COVID, but is that a sort of point of pride of yours? Like, you don't have to travel to a different location every week, do you?
Well, the actual bottom line when you think about it is I do a travel show. Why shouldn't we be traveling, right?
I guess. So how's Turkey?
You know what? It's not locked down. Obviously, you have to play by the rules. You have to show a negative COVID test to be able to come in. But you know what? They're hanging in. And no matter where you go, as long as you behave well and you behave responsibly, you can come.
I'm wondering what it looks like or feels like around the world. So have you been there long enough to answer a few questions? Like, are they wearing masks? Are they socially distancing? Is it 50% capacity at a restaurant? That sort of thing?
It's about 25% at the capacity levels. Hotels are maybe 30. They are behaving. People are wearing masks. And no restaurants are open, by the way.
Oh.
When we say 25%, it's the hotels. The restaurants, it's takeout. And it's pick up. It's not now. As of March 1st, they will be opening again at 25%.
So we are ahead of them in terms of opening back up our society.
You are actually here. There's a curfew between 10 p.m. at night and 5 in the morning, and then on the weekends, the entire country is essentially shut down unless you're doing something essential like medical services or central grocery shopping. You're staying at home, and that's the reason why they are able to open up again on March 1st.
Boy, good luck selling that in the United States. We don't even want to wear face masks, you know.
Tell me about it.
Well, I have a couple. By the way, were you able to see the balloons? Elif said, ask him about the hot air balloons.
Unbelievable! Imagine in a given day between 120 and 130 balloons going up at the same time at around 6 in the morning. It's stunning. It is absolutely stunning. And if the wind is good, they do the same ride in the afternoons, so you get magic hour with the sun. Unbelievable.
And is that a festival, or is that an everyday occurrence there in this city in Turkey?
It's an everyday occurrence. Now, they do have annual festivals, of course, and the champion balloon pilots from all over the world come for this. It's hard to even describe until you see this surreal landscape that they're flying over. It's wonderful.
Cappadocia, Turkey is where Peter Greenberg is, and we'll post a picture of that balloon flight or all of those balloons in the air with this podcast. Okay, so that's how we've been fascinating. Thank you, Peter. But I called to ask you a little bit about the airplanes that we're flying on and how nervous should I or should I not be. After ad nauseum, CNN is running the video of that one engine on fire. Talk to me a little bit about airplanes and the safety of them after this. Peter Greenberg is in Turkey. You'll hear his Eye on Travel here on WGN Radio Saturday at 1. Hey, by the way, one other thing about Turkey, Peter. You know, my producer, Elif, who you talked to off the air, is from Turkey. Still has family there. She's fluent. And she was looking at hotel prices where you're staying. And nice hotels for $59. Is that sound about right?
That's right.
Really?
It does sound about right. Law of supply and demand. Absolutely. Even the airfares, which would normally be $1,400, $1,500 to go from Chicago to Istanbul, can be as low as $490 right now.
Is it a good time, then, if you can, to travel internationally?
It is, if you can, and if you can do it responsibly. There are about 60 different countries that are open to us if we play by the rules. And I can't emphasize that enough.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning you got to play by the rules. I mean, otherwise you're going to find yourself in a quarantine situation and it won't be pretty. You have to understand that they say they need a negative COVID-19 test. You have to take the right negative COVID-19 test. It may not be an antibody test. It may be a PCR test. You learn exactly. Every country's different. So as long as you understand the different rules and you play by those rules, you can go.
How crowded was your plane?
Not crowded at all. In fact, you know, and this is a plane that normally would take, they would have two or three different flights a day. They're down to one, and it was about half full.
New York to Istanbul?
Correct. Yep.
Were you direct?
Yep. That's about, oh yeah, we're nonstop. It's about going, going eastbound. It's about a 9 hour flight. Coming west, it's about a 10 and a half hour flight.
Yeah, I know that well. We've been there a couple of times, and I think Istanbul is lovely, lovely, lovely. I wonder what that market is like though, the Grand Bazaar, right? Because that's crowded and it's
open. It's, well, here's the thing. It's open and it's not crowded. What a great time to see it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Seriously. And keeping in mind, the exchange rate with the Turkish lira is very beneficial to the U.S. dollar these days. It's about seven to the dollar.
Yeah. What do you make of the video? I don't know if in your travel you've been able to follow the news of that one engine on fire on that Boeing aircraft, yeah, and the fact that we've just watched it over and over again here in the States the last couple of days. Now, what's your reaction to what happened? Forget the media coverage, but what happened there?
Sure. Well, actually, it's a story I have been covering for quite some time, because what you had was initially reported as an uncontained engine failure on the right starboard engine. Turns out it wasn't uncontained. It was contained. Thank God it was, or it would have even been worse. But the underlying problem is the one that's serious, and that is, was there metal fatigue involved? Because the fan blades of this engine are made of titanium, and they're sort of hollow on the inside, and there's early indication that this did disintegrate from the inside out. And it's not the first time we've had an incident with this type of engine. United's had an incident before, so has Japan Airlines. And so even when that happened, the National Transportation Safety Board investigated back then and went to the FAA and said, you need to inspect these engines right now. And the FAA did not issue an emergency airworthiness directive at the time. They issued what's known as a modified airworthiness directive, which gave the airlines lots of time to inspect, mm-hmm, like 6,000 cycles. That's 6,000 takeoffs and landings. Now, of course, the FAA has issued that emergency airworthiness directive that essentially says you can't fly the plane until you inspect the engines, which is why United, even before the FAA issued that airworthiness directive, grounded their aircraft. United, by the way, is the only airline in America operating the 777 with those engines. Japan Airlines has them, and so do a number of other. About 130 different airplanes around the world have now been grounded because of this.
You've been critical in the past, have you not, Ben, that the airline industry has too much oversight over the airline industry, that maybe, I don't know if it's the federal government, but it seems a little bit too much like they're monitoring their own situation. Do I hear you right on that?
You hear me absolutely right on that. When the FAA was established by an act of Congress in 1935, it was given a schizophrenic mandate that it couldn't possibly perform to enforce and enact safety regulations and at the same time promote the business of aviation. You cannot do both. And in many cases where the FAA has been confronted with a known safety problem, even a known safety solution, they tend to decide with the airlines and not make it mandatory, which to me, in some cases, even borders on criminal negligence. What we have here is another question about the relationship that the federal agency, the FAA, has with the very entities, meaning the airlines and the manufacturers, that they're supposed to regulate. And we're not going to hear the end of this for a while.
Peter, I want to fly, though, and I don't want to worry about the plane I'm flying on. Or does this have a Pratt & Whitney engine? Or is this a MAX jet or stuff like that? What do you say to those of us? Should we just filter all that out? Or should I shop my airplane when I'm making a reservation?
Well, you know, a lot of people were very nervous about the Boeing 737 MAX, and with good reason. I right now would fly the 737 MAX. In fact, I was on the very first commercial flight when it went back into service last December. The real issue here is the numbers are overwhelmingly in your favor. And the safety, I mean, think about, the United States has not had, knock on as much wood as you have right now, John, the United States has not had a fatal commercial airplane crash in years. This is a big deal. This is something that we should be proud of. But the fact that we were batting so well doesn't mean we can improve that average. The question is, can we maintain that average? And the way we maintain that average is by reassessing and, in fact, redefining the relationship that the regulatory agency has with the very entities they're supposed to govern.
So you think that generally aviation is still very safe? That is, when I saw that plane catch fire, that one, the plane didn't catch fire, that engine did. I thought, how can that happen? How does that happen? And if that happens to that one, are, you know, can it happen to others? I don't want to over worry myself here.
Yeah. I think you are over worrying yourself. I understand your fear. I mean, I know, because listen, that's a powerful visual image you're looking at.
Yeah.
I saw it too. But let me put everybody's concerns a little bit at ease, and that is what you saw there was a contained engine failure. The engine did not disintegrate. There were not parts of the engine that completely destroyed key structural elements of the plane that would have been catastrophic. There was that fire, but you know what? They did okay, all things considered. The underlying problem is what we have to address. Now, having said all that, John, I'm on a plane every 3 or 4 days, and I've done that all my life. And I do that with a certain amount of history here and a certain amount of understanding about a certain portfolio, if you will, of understanding the work that's gone in. The environment in which we're flying right now is so much safer than it's ever been before, but we still need to make it better. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure. Last thing then, any tips for people in terms of costs for flights, hotels or destinations, reservations, stuff like that? What should the savvy traveler know in February about traveling later this year?
Well, keep in mind that the people who were shut out of their summer vacations last year because of the pandemic are bound and determined not to be shut out this year. And so the forward-looking bookings are on the rise measurably. And so if you want to plan your summer vacation, now's the time to do it. You have one thing going for you that you didn't have going for you last year, and that's the airlines got rid of those draconian ticket change fees. So you can actually intelligently roll the dice and know that even if you have to change your flights later, or even if the flights cancel later, you're not going to lose your money based on a ticket change fee that in many cases was more expensive than the ticket itself. Those fees are no longer with us, so you can actually do this with some degree of assurance. However, having said that, make sure you have a similar deal with the hotels that you're booking or the resorts so that you are in good shape in terms of your rights getting your money back should you have to cancel.
And if you don't like what you hear, then say, I'll hang up and call somebody else, right?
Absolutely. You look, it's a buyer's market. Why shouldn't you be in the driver's seat and act that way?
I don't know, because it doesn't seem like companies ever bend over backwards for an individual. But say I wanted to visit my brother in the fall, because we think maybe in the fall we'll be able to go out there, right? We can't go out there now. If we do, if I fly to Arizona right now, when I come back, I have to quarantine for 2 weeks. I don't want to do that. So I'll say, okay, I'll buy a ticket now for maybe the fall or winter to go see my brother in Arizona. What a good idea, right? But I'm not, but I don't know what the world's going to be like this fall or next Christmas. So maybe.
Well, that's where, but you know what, John, that's where it gets into the calculated risk. With the widespread dissemination and increasing dissemination of the vaccines, the development of much better, reliable, rapid response testing, coupled with the economic impact of pent-up demand, I would say you have a reasonably good chance of seeing your brother this fall.
Mm-hmm. What if I don't want to see my brother and I'm just looking for an excuse? Would you write me
that's
a
called,
note?
No, that's called Thanksgiving. That's called Thanksgiving.
Hey, listen, I'll let you go, but so are you, you're doing your show then this weekend from Turkey, or are you going to be somewhere else?
No, we'll be doing it from Istanbul. It'll be this Saturday, you bet.
And what's the feature? You're just going to tell people about the city generally and travel over there?
We'll talk a little bit about that, but look, there's so much else in the news, including the 777 engine, including what's going on with the Boeing 787, including all the different regulations that are coming into play that people need to know about, like we're just talking about right now, before you ever get on a plane, ship, not to mention cruise ships, what Canada's doing about their border, not to mention their ports. We have so much to talk about this Saturday.
Will there be a mandate, a federal mandate, to wear a mask for the duration of a flight?
I think there will be. It'll be enforced initially by the TSA. Remember, when you're on an airplane, you're on interstate travel. That is governed by the federal government. It's not a state issue. And the same thing applies to national parks. Same thing applies to federal buildings. That was part of the president's executive order. So the answer is going to be yes.
A lot of airlines have instituted that rule prior to that anyway, but it wasn't a federal mandate. They could have looked the other way or not even had that rule, correct?
That is right. I mean, up until recently, if you didn't wear the mask and refused to wear the mask, The airlines could throw you off the plane and, of course, put you on the no-fly list and ban you. But now, you mess around with that, there'll be some handcuffs waiting for you and a stiff fine.
And one last thing, then. Will that be true for cruise ships? Are they going to ask us to wear masks on the boats?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, mark my words, you'll have to show proof of vaccination before you can ever get on the ship, and you'll probably have to be tested at least twice, if not three times during the cruise, to satisfy port regulations where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get used to it. Remember, rapid response reliable testing is the answer, and we'll get used to it like we take our shoes off at security checkpoints. It's not going to be a problem.
Saturday at 1 o'clock, Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Talks like this. Hey, Peter, nice to talk to you. We'll visit again.
And good luck with your brother.
He's funny.